Again, thank you for having us this morning, and I would like to turn to several passages of Scripture, if you'll turn with me. The first would be in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. Here's what the Lord says. So that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And let's turn to Matthew 18, 1 through 6. Familiar passage to all of us, but let's read it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Again in Matthew, just a few pages over, Matthew 19, 13 through 14. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them and those who bought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. And lastly, in James chapter 1, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In Deuteronomy, we see that the Israelites were given the responsibility to care for children, orphans, fatherless is the term there, within their gates. It was a mandate early in the directions of the Lord on how we conduct ourselves. Later in Matthew, we see two times Jesus singled out children, especially in the kingdom of heaven. We are to be like little children, and those who harm little children like these have a special punishment for themselves. In Jewish thought, I think the worst thing that could happen would be to drown. And to be drowned in the sea would be even worse. And finally, in James, you see the stress that God places on his concern for widows and orphans. And this is a true measure in many ways of our obedience to him as we walk in our walk with Christ. And Palmer Home for Children is a ministry to children in need. Children who are growing up as social orphans. They have parents, but they're dysfunctional. Sometimes their parents are in jail. Many times their parents are dependent on chemicals or some type of habit, and they're not able to take care of these children. Or if they're there, they are abused in a lot of ways. this ministry that we have work with, is a ministry to children who need a plan to be and a plan to become. Now, just a little history. Palmer Home was founded in 1895 by the women at the First Presbyterian Church in Columbus, Mississippi. They began their ministry that year. They built a building on a campus there, which we still use today. It's our administration building, and that's our main campus. We're named for Dr. Benjamin Morgan Palmer, who was the first pastor of First Presbyterian Church in New Orleans for 50 years. Dr. Palmer had a huge impact on the Presbyterian denomination in this part of the country for the last 50 years of the 19th century. He mentored and trained numerous pastors who went out to plant churches and to build churches. Dr. Palmer even founded what we know as Rhodes College in Memphis today. It was formerly Southwestern. He founded that as a Presbyterian seminary. And so his influence is so great, and these folks who founded Palmer Home wanted to honor him with that name. So that's how we came to be Palmer Home. We have an independent board. This board is made up of people from all over. We have board members from Atlanta, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and we meet as an independent board. Each member of the board has to confess to the basic tenets of the Christian faith as we know it in the Westminster Confession. So we're rock solid there as far as our ministry and our outlook and our commitment to the Lord. We have two campuses active. We have one in Columbus and one in Hernando, Mississippi. The one in Columbus, we have about 65 children there now. And the one in Memphis, we have about 25. That kind of fluctuates because we're having some children who are graduating and moving on to college this year. So, at any rate, we're at capacity. And if a child comes to us, we'll find a place, but it would be crowded. And we'll talk a little later about some of our future plans in that direction. Recently, our long-term president, Dr. Ed Waldron, retired. And after about a year and a half of search, we called Mr. Drake Bassett to be our president and CEO. He joined our staff, took over our leadership a year ago this month. He is a gentleman from the Memphis area, grew up there. He was recently president and CEO of the Nielsen Corporation in Connecticut. Now, that may not mean much to you, but these are the people that rate your TV shows. So he was had a very successful career there. He looked around and he said, "I'm 49 years old, and is this all there is to it?" And so he began seeking a place where he can have an impact on ministry for Christ. And so he came to Palmer Home. Being good Presbyterians, we know that wasn't by accident. He's there and brings a wealth of talent to our staff, and has began to build reconstitute a lot of our staff. I've been there just 6 months. I was formerly with Independent Presbyterian in Memphis, as I said, and was there for 20-something years. Been a member of our presbytery, so I've served there. I knew Laurie very well from that. And it was a good move for me to move over. Again, the Lord doesn't do anything by accident. the last several years, our situation with children has become more and more critical. As I said, these are social orphans. And these children are coming to us with huge baggage, things that you don't even want to think about, but they're there. They have been abused mentally, physically, sexually, and they come to us with all that baggage. And on top of that, none of them are academically level with their age. And so we take them in, and we've seen the need more and more about increasing more of our support to these children in that way. We have brought on this year Dr. David Foster, who is a clinical psychologist. He is very expert in trauma-informed care. He's been advising foreign governments in disaster. He has a whole child initiative where he brings this all together for these children. We have each campus has now a qualified therapist counselor full-time on staff. And that sounds like a lot, but let me tell you some of the things we run into. We'll have a child who comes to us, has been there 2 or 3 years, and wakes up in the middle of the night screaming. Can't control them. And so you just can't, you got to have someone there to be able to deal with that. You can call a counselor outside and they'll say, "Well, bring her in 2 days from now," but that doesn't work. So we saw the need for that. Give you some ideas of what these children come with. Oh, by the way, we get our children from various sources, but primarily from referrals or family members. Sometimes a juvenile judge will see a situation and say, "This child does not need to be in foster care. They need to be at Palmer Home." We get that occasionally. We get children from a relative. They find out a situation, and then they bring it to us. I'll give you a good example. Last fall in Memphis, by the way, in our Memphis campus, half our children in Hernando campus, half our children are from Memphis. So that's a bigger growing need for our ministry there. But two children, brother and sister, 8 and 9 years old. Father is an alcoholic. Mother checked out a long time ago. They were about to be evicted from their house. He hadn't worked, and they were kind of living in the neighborhood, you know, eating, sleeping wherever they could. And the grandmother got to hear about it. She came, checked it out, said, "This is beyond my scope." So she took the father, and the children came to us and said, "Will you take these?" And we said, "Certainly we would." And we did. They came to us in December. The little girl had on flip-flops and a T-shirt and a pair of shorts. That's all she had. And so we have a rule that when children come to us, they are a 30-day isolation from their parents or whomever. So we told them that. I said, "Look, you're not going to spend Christmas with your dad or your grandma." And the little boy said, "Well, listen, we think this is Christmas great. We've got a place to sleep. We've got a place to eat. And we got clothes." He said, "This is Christmas for us. We're great with that." That's kind of the trauma you see with these kids. Now, it may take those kids 2 or 3 years to get used to a normal situation. On top of that, they're way behind in school. I mean, we've got a lot of catching up to do. So part of our services that Dr. Foster is growing is to help them spiritually, physically, mentally, and academically to get them up to level. We have a goal next year to have 100% of our children at grade level with their academics. Right now, we're about halfway there. So you can see the job ahead. Our children go to school. They go sometimes to public school, sometimes to private school, and sometimes homeschooled. It depends on where they are and what they're, where they are, you know, again, emotionally and academically. Another instant, we give you another idea of what we face and why we see so critical need about having these services. 2 years ago, we had these twin girls in Columbus that came to us, and they were sent to us by a judge. They were 1 year old. The judge had placed them, or the system had placed them in foster care. One night, they were both molested. And they came to us, and both of them were catatonic. We just couldn't break through. 1 year old. And now they're beginning to function more like 3 year olds. But even that young, you can see the trauma they're faced with. Another way we get them, in Memphis, there's a Christian ministry called Way Out. This is for prostitutes and girls in the strip club business. And this is a way for them to break that mold. And they all come to us with kinds of baggage. A lot of it's chemical dependency. They have no education. And so Way Out will take these ladies and, first of all, get them away from their dependency and get them on the road of drying out, and then getting them a high school diploma, GED, and then teaching them a skill, whatever that is. So we had, again, last fall, a young lady that came to us and said, "I'm in this program. I can't deal with my baby. This program, would you take my son?" So he came to us at 17 months. And we hope that this lady can get her life together and where she can get Jordy back. But right now, he's in a very safe and good place. We do take care of these children as a family. The children live in cottages. Each cottage has a full-time set of house parents. They're there just like you are with your kids, 24/7. And there are 6 to 10 children in each cottage, depending on their age. Sometimes the house parents have children of their own. But they function as a family. They go to church as a family. They take their meals as a family. They have the same sibling issues that any family has. So they go to church. And again, I'm going to talk about that for a second, too. When these children go to church, it's the church the house parents go to, just like in your house. If your parents were Baptist, you grew up in a Baptist home, in a Baptist church. If your parents were Methodist, you grew up in a Methodist church. If you were Presbyterian, same thing. Well, that's the way it is with our house parents. The kids are involved in the youth groups at the church. Some of them, the older kids, have gotten to go on short-term mission trips. They're involved in campus activities at their school. Some of them play athletics. So just like families that you know, the children are active in those ways. Another thing about our philosophy of ministry is we keep siblings together, like the two children that came to us back in the fall around Christmas. They'll be together in that house as a brother and sister. We have one group in Columbus. There's six children in that family. The foster care system would have separated those kids out, no telling where, but we keep them as a family. Many times the juvenile judges in the system will see that, and they'll want to keep kids together, and therefore they will send children to us or assign children to us. We have guardianship. In other words, the parents or guardians give us guardianship where we can take care of the children, you know, for their medical needs and whatever else they need there. Generally, they're not adoptable because the parents don't want to give them up. They keep thinking they'll get their lives back together. And we would hope so, but in most cases it doesn't, sadly. Parents have rights to visit. Children can go home, but we monitor that very carefully. If the child is coming out of a situation where they're physically or sexually abused, we won't do that. They can come and visit on-site campus with the proper supervision. Another thing about our ministry is when a child comes to us, we'll have him. We could have him till he graduates from college. We have one young man who graduated from Mississippi State last year with an electrical degree, came to us when he was 2 years old. And we do pay for the college. We have an endowment that people have given us over the years where if some of our children are qualified for college, we send them right on. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're not college material. But we will find them a place. We'll send them to a trade school, get them a skill where they can go out and be a functioning adult and raise a family of their own. Or one young man several years ago, he just wasn't college material, so sent him to a school to be an electrician. And that didn't work out. I think we went through plumbing. That didn't work out. Air conditioning school, that didn't work out. So the last was welding, and that was his deal. He is a super fine welder. He is doing very well with that. The point is we did not give him up until we had found a place for him to go. Same thing with any of them, any of our children. That's kind of what we look like and what we're dealing with these children and their parents. We also try to work with the parents when we can. We're not trying to isolate those children from their families. I heard Drake tell us the other night, said that if you went to these children and said, "Would you go home with your parents today?" Probably 90% of them would say yes, because they want that. And they want it so badly that they would be willing to step back if they could. But, of course, we couldn't do that. But that's how strong that biological bind is for those children. And we try to encourage that with the parents to get them to the point where they can take these children back. Doesn't happen that often, though, sadly. We are totally privately funded, by the way. We accept no money from state or federal government. 100% of our funding comes from individuals, churches, corporations, and foundations. Just people that write us checks all the time, every month. Churches that put us in their budgets, their foundations who are tuned to ministries like this, and so that's how we get our money. If we don't get it from people writing checks, we don't get it. We don't apply for it. What this does, and we could get a lot of money, but if we did, there are strings attached. We can raise these children in a Christian environment with a Christian world and life view. A state agency may say, no, if you're taking government money, there's a separation of church and state, so you can't do that. So that's why we're that way. The Lord has blessed us over the years Our current budget right now is $6.8 million. Our year end is June 30th, and it looks like very, very likely we'll make that budget this year. So the Lord continues to bless it year in and year out, and because I think we set that standard high of caring for these children and giving the Lord the glory for it. Now, what about our future? As I mentioned to you, we're at capacity. We still could take a child or two, but we cannot open and say, you know, here we are. We can't go out and say that with confidence that we'd be able to accommodate to the level we need to the children we have. So our Hernando campus right now has got three cottages. We are going to expand that to four, to add four cottages to that, which means we'll add another 40, 45 children to that campus, more than double the size of it. And we're going to build there too a wellness center, a fitness center for these children to come to have a basketball court. Every kid needs a basketball goal. And also computer labs where they can come and we can work with them on getting their computer skills up. Then we can, after that, we're looking at our Columbus campus. This is several years in the making, but as you can imagine, these things don't happen overnight. So we're hoping to get our building plans finalized this year to begin working on that later this year, early next year. The need is great. We have a lot of opportunities there. And again, we will take people coming in to give us their children, but we cannot go out and say, here we are, bring us. You know, that's what we'd like to do. Just can't do it all right now. Let me give you a success story, another success story. We had a young lady in our Hernando campus that came to us. She came with her two brothers. They're Vietnamese. They were from Texas. They came to us, and she graduated with honors from high school and received a scholarship to Belmont College in Nashville and is finishing up her nursing degree here this year. She plans to go into some form of international medical ministry. Have a young man who's in the armed services right now, serves over in Afghanistan. And when he comes home on leave, he comes to Palmer Home. That's where he comes home to. So to tell you that this is a lasting impact. I could probably give you a list of 50 or 60 adults working today in Mississippi who grew up in Palmer Home. So we feel like that the Lord continues to bless it, brings children to us, and we're able to minister to them. I want to say that we have four goals in mind when we look at children. We want to provide a safe haven for them. We want to provide love and acceptance for them. We want to provide spiritual healing and to provide a foundation for a new future. If you think about that, these children come, and if they're not removed from their situation, their future is what their parents are, to be in that environment. So we feel like that those four things, a safe haven, love and acceptance, spiritual healing, and a future, a place to be. So that's who we are. That's what we do. I want to thank you all again for allowing us to come and share that with you. I've got out on the table in the Northex, there's a magazine. It's our fall magazine. We're hoping to get a new one out soon. And a calendar. I know we're a third of the way through the year, but take one of those calendars with you because it has a pictorial story about our children. It has a picture of all the campuses, of all the cottages and the kids that are in those campuses last fall, and the house parents, and some of the things that we do. Someone laughed, one of the pictures in January was a picture of our campus in Columbus with snowfall, snow covered. And I was somewhere and someone said, "Does it snow that much in Mississippi?" I said, "No. Snow's like that, you went out and take a picture because 30 minutes they'll be gone." So, but it makes a pretty picture anyway. But I want to thank you all. Thank you for letting me share this with you. I'll be around a few minutes after that. Ask any more questions, something I didn't cover or something I said that's not very clear. I want to be sure that that I give you what the Lord will have me to say. So let's turn in our hymnals to hymn 72. May the Lord bless you all this week and go in His peace.